Bridges for 2008. This message by Reverend Bill Parker was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, December 30th, 2007, and was taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21.
I'm glad to be with you here right before the New Year's, and I wonder what Jesus might share with us if he were to have a little bit of time, 20, 30 minutes, to talk to us. I wonder what he would take to explain to us about himself concerning this next year. I wonder if he might take us down to the refinery and explain to us that he can take something that is useless out of the ground and make it into something that's useful. I don't know, maybe he'd take us out to Oakhurst, out to some of those salvages, and take one of those old cars and explain to us how an old, junked-up piece of metal can be restored and be made brand new. I don't know, he might take us down to the river and explain to us that all life has to center around water and that he is the water of life. I would imagine if Jesus was going to teach us something we didn't know by using something that we do know, he might take us across one of our bridges. We got several bridges now, but I was growing up on the west side of town, and really our identity and the Westsiders, and are you all Westsiders here? Anybody that's not? Any aliens who drive in from across? You got your card you have to have? When I was a kid, we used to say, we're going to go across the river. That was kind of a big deal. We tried to keep everything on the west side, and we were going to say, well, I'm crossing the river. Oh, man, you crossed the river today. You know, it's kind of like that. I really appreciate bridges. I appreciate them more today than I did on Friday. On Friday, I went with hiking with a group of people, some young men who were 22, 23, 24 years old. Yes, that was a mistake already. I'm 45, and there was another guy that went with us who is almost 50 years of age. We hiked 8 miles the first day and then 4 the next day. He's on the board of the ministry where I serve as the director of Hand-to-Hand Ministries, and so I thought this is a great time. I can spend time with him and a couple other pastors, 4 pastors and 4 or 5 college students went with us, and I thought it'd be a great time. It was challenging. We crossed the Little Missouri River 5 times. Now, what that meant was that we had to disrobe our pants, our... Yeah, don't laugh yet, okay? I didn't say I was hot up here the other day. Okay. I had to disrobe our pants, our shoes, and our socks and walk across that river 5 times. Didn't have a bridge. I was excited when I began to think about this message about bridges. Jesus Christ is the bridge to God. He is our source. He is the way we get there. And without him, we would have no other way to do that. Today, I want to encourage you to cross 3 bridges in the year 2008. If you have your Bible, look with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. And we're going to look at a brief text and then try to draw some conclusions about 3 relationships and really 3 bridges that we can see that God allows us to cross consistently. Here's the text. You're turning there in your Bible. What page do you have in your Bible? 285. I like that. When I would preach often to churches or to people that don't go to church often, they go by page numbers. I thought that's kind of interesting. Most of us who've been schooled in the Word, you know, we'll go right to it. But some folks don't know where Corinthians is. If you don't know where 2 Corinthians is, that's good. You're in the right spot to learn how to find those things in your Bible. Just go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, turn right, and eventually you'll get there to Corinthians. If you look at the 17th verse of the 5th chapter, it says this. The 17th verse of the 5th chapter, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating us, as though God were entreating through us, we beg you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The very first thing you can see in that text, and it says that we are new creatures in Christ. Here's something that's a really good truth for us to understand. You cannot make yourself into a new creature. You cannot manufacture or manipulate yourself to be any different than you are. God has to do that from the outside in, or actually does it from the inside out. He changes us, and no matter how good you attempt to be, no matter how religious you may try to perform religious duties or whatever it may be, church attendance, you cannot change yourself. It is only God who can change you. In the Bible, there's a story of a man named Lazarus. And Lazarus is a poor man, and he is compared with another man of his day and time. Jesus compares him as a rich man. Both of them die. And they go to this place called Hades, or which is the holding place. And they go to the holding place, and the rich man asks Abraham, who is kind of the guardian of the holding place, he asks him if he would, just to relieve his distress by putting water on his tongue, right, to relieve him. And he said, would you please go back and tell my five brothers about who God is? And they would surely believe somebody who had come back from the dead. And Jesus in his parable, or his illustration there, tells us that, in that story, tells us that not even if somebody came back from the dead would somebody believe, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets. When I worked at Mark Hill's gas station, people would come in and they would ask us, how do I get to a certain place? You know, my favorite thing to say to them was, you can't get there from here. I like that line. And I like it so much because I could watch their face. What do you mean I can't get there from here? Do you know you can't get to heaven on your own? The Bible clearly states that Jesus is the bridge. And there is no other way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the bridge from here to eternity, at least to heaven. There is an eternity for all. The Christ becomes that bridge for us. There is no other way. Now, what's great about the person of Jesus Christ is not only can you not change yourself, you cannot keep yourself spiritually ready. Only he can do that. That's kind of a lie that sometimes we tell ourselves. If I'm disciplined enough, if I'm strong enough, if I'm good enough, if I'm alert enough, if I'm capable enough, then I can keep myself in a right relationship with God. That's not true. You're kept in a right relationship with God by God himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, there's a great thing about God. He knows your every need. As I'm getting older, I can see people developing in life. I was with these young college guys, and they're young and thin. They have a waist. And if you notice, young guys have a waist that's narrower than their shoulders. And it's a terrible thing to see. And I was talking to some of the guys working on the campfire, talking, and I could look at them, and for the first time, I could begin to see men in these young men. And someday their waist is going to be wider than their shoulders. And their hair won't be as nice and fluffy, and it goes away, doesn't it? And one day, like men and women, we'll all age. And there'll come that day and time in events of our life that we will not be able to think clearly, that we will not be able to know enough. Sometimes people have meltdowns and breakdowns, and we cannot depend upon our own goodness or our own ability or our own sense of alertness of our faith. There'll be a day and a time, a minute and a second and an hour, that you are nothing but a shell of a human being. You'll breathe your last breath. And because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, he's become your bridge. He will take you into eternity, not because of who you are or what you can do, but because of who he is and what he has accomplished. There's a cross on a hill, and it is the bridge between death and life, between divinity and humanity. And that bridge is the flesh of God sacrificed for you and I. You heard about the elephant and the flea when they crossed the bridge? The flea said to the elephant, didn't we shake that bridge really well? When we get to heaven, everything we have, everything that we are, is simply riding on the back of the person of Jesus Christ. The very first bridge to cross in 2008 is the bridge to eternity through the person of Jesus. If you've never crossed that bridge, I can't think of a better day, can you? Right before the beginning of a new year, it's a good day to do that. But if you cross the bridge, Now, many of you have tuned me out already when I said, well, I've already done that. I don't need to hear the rest of this. I have good news for you. You should remember the day that you invited Christ into your heart. And you should also remember that He has saved you and He is saving you right now. It's a one-time event to receive Christ, but it's a lifetime adventure until you actually get to see the fulfillment of that. And He is keeping you. Not because you're good, not because you're sharp, not because you said some little prayer, but because of who He is and what He's done on the cross. I'm not knocking prayers. We pray to receive Christ. I know that. But we don't earn our salvation through our prayers. That's kind of important. It's a big thing. Here's the next bridge I hope that you build. Is the bridge to other people. Now, notice this book that we're reading here is in Corinthians. It's written to a church like this church in Corinth. And Paul's writing to a group of Christians, and what's he encouraging them to do? Look with me, if you would, back to that 18th verse. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us what? He gave us this ministry of reconciliation. Let's say it a different way, if you give me that liberty. He gave us the ministry, or let's say it this way. He's created us to be spiritual engineers who are bridge builders to people who don't know the Lord. Now, you and I need to take this step to one another and be reconciled, be in relationship. Have you ever had a disagreement with somebody in church? Don't raise your hand. Does somebody get on your nerves? Somebody you don't like? Somebody you have a past with? That it's hard to get over? Hey, if you're around people any length of time, you'll have a crisis and a conflict. That's just people. And the Bible teaches us that we are people who are called to reconcile with one another. Now, you cannot make somebody love you. You cannot make somebody be right with you. But you can be right with whoever that you may have it odd or against. You can do all that you can do to put things into order. I heard the story, and it was this weekend. A pastor told me this. It's a good thing about hanging around preachers. You get a lot of good illustrations. So we were sitting around the campfire, and this guy told this story. And it's a story that Chuck Swindoll told. Now, I don't have it exact, so don't quote me on it. But the gist of the story, I can remember. Here's the gist of the story. There were two brothers that had gone together to buy a piece of property to live on, two homes. And they had an argument, some type of tiff that came between the two brothers. And one of the brothers decided he had cleared some land and set aside some wood, built a sawmill and set some wood aside. He was so frustrated with his brother, he wanted some way that he wouldn't have to see him or deal with him. Well, one day a man came by looking for work. He said, I'm a carpenter. What can I do here that you might have some carpentry work? And the guy said, I have the job for you. He said, what I want you to do is build an 8-foot fence behind my house. So while I'm in my kitchen, I don't have to look out and see this other property of my brother. It sits above him, a creek runs between the two, a little river between the two of them. And the man said, I understand what you want, and I know what you need. And so the guy said, I'm going to be gone for a few days, and I'll come back. When I come back, I hope this job is done. He goes away for 2 days, and he comes back, and he pulls into his yard, walks around to the backside, hoping that this gate or this fence had been built, and he sees that the man had built a bridge over the creek, joining the two properties rather than dividing the properties. And he also saw his brother coming from his house, because he had seen him drive in, coming to that bridge, and he goes to the bridge himself, and they cross the bridge at the same time. And the brother, who he was trying not to see, said, I am so glad you did this. Thank you for building this bridge. And he wanted to embrace him. He didn't know what to say. He said, I didn't do this. He said, somebody else had done this, but he accepted the reconciliation of his brother. The carpenter shows up, and that both the men thank him for building this bridge. They said, we have lots of work that needs to be done around here. Can you stay and help us? And the man said, no, I can't. He said, I have lots of other bridges to build. In churches, there are people who won't attend. I'm just going to use a church for a second. Because they've been hurt in the past. Maybe they're currently hurting. They have pain. Have you ever known somebody who won't go because they got hurt? I mean, being a preacher, I've gone into hundreds of homes, and the people will sometimes say, I will not go because somebody did something to me. I want to tell you what. you can always find somebody who'll hurt you in the body of Christ. But the person you hurt by not being involved in a local congregation is yourself. By withdrawing yourself, by isolating yourself, the person you hurt is your own self. Hurt, forgiveness, and pain are barriers from people being involved in a local church. Let's take that on a grander scale. It's a barrier in our families, in our lives, and our friendships when we allow hurt, pain, and the lack of forgiveness to allow us to build our relationship. Who are we to claim the grace of God if we cannot live in harmony with our brothers and sisters in Christ? No wonder a lost world looks at us and goes, I'm not sure I want any of that. Churches not only need to build relationships to one another, they need to build relationships to people that aren't believers. It seems to me that the most critical generation to reach in churches is, at this current moment, are the ages between 20 and 35. They come to our churches, they go through our children's ministries, they go through youth group meetings, they go to college, and we don't see them until they start having the first or the second child. Now, that's not new. Am I saying something that's true? Is that true? You see that as a need? When that's not just it, under this church, has most churches have it across our country. And unless churches build an intentional bridge to those who are 20 and 35, we're going to have a massive gap in our churches. Just look down the road 15 years. Just look down the road 20 years. And what's going to happen if we don't have that age group that's being reached? That means that one group is going to have to intentionally build a bridge to another and do things differently that's never been done. I'm excited to hear and see of churches that are doing this. I saw a church in Minneapolis just recently, had a chance to partner with them in a couple of ways. And I went to their service in Minnesota State, right in the heart of Minneapolis. By the way, there's a bridge collapse there not long ago. Remember hearing that? Sad thing. It's a funny thing, you ask those people about that, and they all know where they were when that bridge fell. You know what that's like. We've had a bridge fall here in Muskogee. Several people died in that. We know what it's like when bridges... You know, Oklahoma has like 7,500 bridges, and they're all kind of falling apart. So I go up to see this pastor in this church. We talked about that experience. But I watched this Sunday morning. This was so neat. A pastor who's about 55, student minister, is a mentor to a young man who's about 23. And every person involved in that church as a leader is below the age of 25. 60 people there that morning. And they did everything, set everything up. There is a generation that God longs to raise in that age range. I didn't plan to say this today, but if you're in that age range, you are a critical link. You are the living bridge to that generation that needs to be reached. We don't even want to count the cost if we don't reach them. But we want to count, also we want to count the cost if we do and what can happen. So churches need to begin praying and looking to build bridges to one another, as well as to a lost world. Listen to this last part of the text, if you would. I have some notes, but I really should have followed this somewhere in here. I'm very bad about following my notes. So let's just leave those there. You can read them afterwards if you need to. Let's look at this text here. And it says in verse 20, look at it if you would, if you have your Bible. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassador is a person who goes and speaks for another on their behalf. Like a person who works at the United Nations, or a person who goes to a foreign country and represents the United States as an ambassador. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The next bridge that we're to build, the first bridge, I might remind you, is the bridge to God. The second bridge is a bridge in relationship to one another. And the third bridge is a bridge to the lost world. Do you know how lost people act? They act like lost people. You know what their vocabulary is like? It's like lost people. Do you know when lost people come into your doors, they're going to act like lost people? But what are we called to do? We are called to build a bridge. It's going to look different. Did you know that one of the most fads in our world today is piercings, right? People are going to look different. They're going to act different. They're going to be different. Yet we are called to move towards people who look, act, and are different than us for the purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Not to become like them, but to be able to share our faith with them. That takes us a movement on our behalf to go to them. It's interesting to see that Jesus came to us when we were really despicable to Him. The Bible says that we were aggressively fighting Him, an enmity with Him. And yet He came to us to meet our needs. The first bridge is the bridge of God. The second bridge is the bridge to one another. And the third bridge I would encourage you to cross this year is the bridge to those that aren't believers. There's an interesting story about Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was with some of his companions. They were traveling from one place to another. And, of course, they were traveling by horse in that day and time. And they were going to have to cross a particular river. And as they began to cross the river, it was dangerous because the men on their horses were crossing the river. And there were several people standing around watching them ford the river, make this crossing. And one man, unbeknownst to him, asked President Jefferson, "Would you carry me across?" He didn't know it was the president. And the president, without hesitation, said, "Join me." He put him on the back of his horse, and they forded that river. Dangerous, taking step by step as that current swift. Now, if the river had taken the horse out from underneath them, most likely both the rider and the horse would have died, and his companion would have died. They made it to the other side, and they all stood around, you know, congratulating one another, they've made it. And they asked the man, said, "How did you know that he was the president, that you would ask him?" And he said, "I didn't know that he's the president." He said, "I didn't know until you just told me." He said, "I began to look at the faces of every one of the horsemen. And some men on their face had the persona of no. And some men had on their face the persona of yes." He said, "I saw yes on that man's face." To you and me, if a lost world looks at us, will they see a yes to carry someone across a river, to be a bridge to a relationship with God? 2008 is fast approaching. Another year is about to come and go. Do you want it to be just like last year? Just another year for you? Or do you want to advance in your faith, advance in your family? Do you want to move forward? The way to do that is to reaffirm the bridge to God. Build a bridge in the body of Christ to one another, and build a bridge to a lost person, a person that does not know Christ. Say yes. This morning, does that make sense to you? You can say yes or no. If you say no, we're going to go over it again. No, kidding you. I hope some of this makes sense to you. And God is probably drawing you at this moment. You've heard the word. And God typically does this. He allows us to hear the word, and He draws us to a point to do something. Now, this is what happens often in church families, or anytime we hear the word, we go, "Wow, that's a good word. I like that word," or "That word made me feel good." But I don't want you to stop there. My encouragement to you is to take this word of bridge building. And where does God want you to apply it? If you have a broken relationship, I assume, Jim, there's freedom in here that they can cross the aisle and ask one another to forgive each other. You can do that, can't you, here? I won't tell anybody if you don't. You can do that. And maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, and you know for certain you wouldn't go to heaven. Or it could be that you're here and you're just downright cold to people who aren't believers. You focus on all the bad things about them, how they look and how they feel and how they act, and yet your heart isn't broken for them. You don't have the same heart that Jesus has for them. And God's calling you to find one person to befriend, to invest in, to share your faith with. I don't know how this message affects you, but I know God is saying something to us here today. And I want to invite you in the next few moments just to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to be quiet for a few minutes. Then we'll have a time of invitation. And I want to invite you first to ask God, what does He want you to do with this word that you've heard? Just pause and do that right now.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.